Cashing Out on VSiN, the sports betting network.
So number three of Cashing Out right here on VSiN, the sports betting network, and we've got an absolutely tremendous hour coming up for you guys. We're going to be joined in about 15 minutes by one of our good friends, Jonathan Davis. He does great work over at SiriusXM with their NHL coverage, does great work here at the network with his NHL coverage over here as well. We're going to be diving in on Game 6 of the Stanley Cup Final. Does he think that this is going to be going 7 games? What are we going to be seeing for the Edmonton Oilers with regards to their changes? And so much more. We're going to be diving in on that. And we're going to be taking a look at everything that we've got here on the sports calendar with regards to Monday as well. About 45 minutes. If you miss any of the best on this show, we're going to get you guys all covered there. And if you did miss the first 2 hours of the show, VSiN.com/podcast. We've got you guys covered with every single hour of every single show here at the network. And always a pleasure to be joining you guys, especially on a Father's Day. Again, hopefully all of you dads out there had a great Father's Day. If you forgot to wish your dad a happy Father's Day, better late than never. Trust me, you want to do so. I made sure to give my dad a happy Father's Day as well, even though we were holding it down today because we have to do our duties. We have to hold it down for all the dads out there and hopefully make you guys some money to be able to pay for some good gifts for Father's Day. So how about if we do dive in on what we all saw on Sunday? As I've went 2 hours without addressing the fact that we saw a wild PGA Championship where J.J. Spahn was able to get the job done. The pride of San Diego State, he was able to get his first major. He's able to take it down as he shoots a 72 on Sunday to be able to find a way to be able to persevere in what was just a wild, wild U.S. Open, as he had Scottie Scheffler still find a way to be able to finish tied for 7th. I mean, it was a less than savory tournament for him. He was struggling a little bit towards the beginning, was able to find it a little bit more late, but I mean, this course just beat up everyone. In the last few U.S. Opens, I mean, typically you get a little bit of a better score than a minus one. The U.S. Open always prides itself on being super duper difficult. It always prides itself on just being brutal in general, but man, this year it was beyond brutal, with Spahn being the only guy to be able to finish even slash under par. He goes one under and finds a way to persevere, and you did have some notable names towards the top, and you did see a little bit of, shall we say, a fade with regards to some of these lesser guys. Like Carlos Ortiz was there for quite some time, but he had a little bit of a rough go of it late, and I was pointing out this guy, the carriage really did turn into a pumpkin with regards to one of the guys that he was right there in Thurston Lawrence going into the final round. I still remember going on the show yesterday talking to the golf guest that we had, in Mr. Aguiar, and we were just like, what the heck? This guy had missed like cut after cut after cut, and sometimes the cream just really does rise to the top, and perhaps we're going to be able to see a little bit more of Spahn moving forward, because if you take a look at J.J. Spahn and what he's been able to do this season, certainly he hasn't been winning like the events or anything like that, but he's been there in terms of a lot of like top 10s, top 20s. He's been able to give you some relatively rock solid performances, and he busts through here, and we'll see if he's going to be one of those guys that moving forward, it's going to be a little bit of flash in the pan, or if he's going to be able to do a little bit more of this moving forward. So I have to give a little bit of credit to Mr. Spahn, the fact that he was able to take down that U.S. Open title, and certainly it was a very interesting U.S. Open that was full of a lot of long shots, not only if you bet Mr. Spahn, but if you're taking a look at the derivative markets, like Carlos Ortiz be able to finish in the top 10, that was a very nice cash for you. Sam Burns does fade away a little bit towards the back half of this tournament, but still, he's able to give you a top 10 as well. And if you took a shot on Jon Rahm, late to be able to make a top 10 appearance as well, after he was way down for the entirety of the tournament, you're able to get there as well. So always do have to love what you're able to get on that front. But really, the bigger news that we saw after the U.S. Open wrapped up, because this happened just after the U.S. Open wrapped up, Rafael Devers and that trade. Actually, I think that it happened about few minutes before it officially wrapped up, but Rafael Devers going to the San Francisco Giants. This is a move that, in my opinion, this just has to be some sort of salary dump for some other move for the Boston Red Sox. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. For Rafael Devers, he gets traded for the opposite of a haul. Like, we always like to say, oh, they got so much in return for Rafael Devers and something like that. No. Like, Kyle Harrison is a little bit of an upside guy. Do I think that he could be a solid pitcher at the big league level? Yes, he's only 23 years old, but man, where is he going to slot in with regards to this Boston Red Sox rotation? Are they just going to send him down to the minor leagues? That's a question. Jordan Hicks, who's not been good as a reliever, he's not been good as a starter. He really doesn't offer a lot moving forward. You also get James Sims, who I actually like James Sims. He was a first-round pick out of Florida State. I think that he's actually a legitimately solid prospect, but you're looking at that guy probably being a little bit of a ways away from being able to make an impact for your team. And then Jose Mayo, I'll be honest here, I never heard of Jose Mayo before in my life. So I'm not going to try to be like, oh, this is like the next great Cy Young winner or something like that. No, I've got no idea. He might be really good. He might just be a guy named Jose Mayo who just came out and was eating Cheetos on the couch about 2 days ago. Like, I don't know anything about the guy. So there's that. But for the Boston Red Sox, does put them in very interesting footing moving forward. And we have to not just talk about what we're going to be getting from them moving forward in the futures market, but we have to talk about what we're going to be getting for them on Monday as well. And first things first, we do have to take a look at as well what we're going to be getting this football season. And to help you out with the football season, if you become a VSiN Pro subscriber, our good friend here on the network, Josh Applebaum, he's got the NFL Sharp Betting Playbook. That is a no-nonsense guide to be able to read the market and spot sharp action and make smarter NFL bets this season. Sign up now and you get instant access to everything that we do here at the network. A daily email with all the best bets from our VSiN shows and guests, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, 24/7 video access on the VSiN Watch app, plus the NFL betting guide that is going to be coming up July 1st, so about 2 weeks from now. You don't want to miss out on this limited time offer. If you sign up now with the promo code of book, BOOK at VSiN.com/subscribe, you save $41 off the annual subscription price and you get the NFL Sharp Betting Playbook right now. That is over at VSiN.com/subscribe, promo code BOOK, as it is cashing out with myself, Greg Peterson, right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. And just really intriguing to take a look at a Boston Red Sox team that it's not like they make this trade coming off of a loss. It's not like they make this trade coming off of being swept by the New York Yankees. They actually swept the New York Yankees. They were below 500 prior to the series, and now all of a sudden, they're back above 500. Not saying that they're in amazing shape with regards to the playoffs, but you know what? Things are on the up and up for them. Like, if you look at their odds to be able to win the AL East right now, they have now went to 17-1. It's just looking a little bit brutal there, but I do think that you still have perhaps a little bit of value on the team moving forward if you think that this is going to be something that leads into a bigger move. And I know that our good friend Scott Seidenberg, who he did a great job on Sunday with the Live Bet Sunday show, he was talking about this, them perhaps being able to acquire first baseman, which I could see, but I do think that's all speculation at this point. Now, there are some conspiracy theories because the same folks that own the Boston Red Sox, they also own Liverpool, and they suck like over $100 million into a very, very notable international soccer player. I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I know international soccer because I truly do not. So you're not going to have me beating around the bush here or anything like that, but I do think that it's interesting to just take a look on this front in general, as you've got just so many, shall we say, hodgepodge teams out there in the American League as well. Because for the Red Sox, I think that they're donezo with regards to being able to win the division, but I think that there's still the propensity for this team to be able to make a little bit of a wild card push. I mean, I know that it's very early. A lot of these teams have only played about 70 or so games, but the Red Sox are a half a game out of the wild card right now. Like, it's not like this is a team that's dead and buried. They're not the Colorado Rockies, who, if you're looking right now, 25.5 games out of the NL wild card, and they've got 14 wins. So, yeah, that's a team that is very much done, to say the least. But, I mean, really, this entire American League is interesting. Heck, for as bad as the Chicago White Sox are, they're 14 games out of the wild card. Like, I know that that sounds absolutely insane, but I mean, they and the Athletics are the only two teams that are more than six games out of this American League wildcard. I have on my podcast, the Baseball Betting Show, which you're able to subscribe to that wherever you get your podcast, a guy by the name of Danny Vietti. He does great work over at CBS Sports. We were last year talking about the National League Central and how nobody really wanted it as a mid-off. This is just a big, giant mid-off with all teams not named the Yankees and the Detroit Tigers right now in the American League. Like, who else is really good? The Houston Astros are right now leading the AL West. They're a bottom 10 team in terms of runs per game. It feels like they've done it a little bit with smoke and mirrors. Do you trust in the Seattle Mariners? I don't trust in the Seattle Mariners. The Tampa Bay Rays are probably the one team that I trust in right now. Because with the Tampa Bay Rays, they've got what I love. bullpen pitching. And that's why on the flip side, if you look at the opposite side of this trade, because everyone is talking about the fact that the Boston Red Sox trade away Rafael Devers. How about if we talk about the team that got Rafael Devers in the San Francisco Giants? I think that this team is very much for real. And the reason why, number one in the big leagues in terms of bullpen ERA. You saw it on Sunday Night Baseball. They lose that game by one run, but they cover the run line. That was an impromptu bullpen game. Kyle Harrison gets scratched 15 minutes before the start of that game, and still somehow, some way, the LA Dodgers were averaging more than 6 runs per game at home. I mean, they were held in check towards back half of the game. It was Sean Hegele, the starter slash opener that they very rarely use, who gave up most of the runs in that game. And for this San Francisco Giants team, I do think that there's a lot of upside on them. I was talking them up a few weeks ago when they were 15-1 to win the NL West. They're now down to 7-1 over at DraftKings to win the NL West. I still think that there's a little bit of value. Certainly, do they win this division 1 out of every 2 times or something like that? No, I would be lying to you there, because you know that the LA Dodgers are going to make some moves, even with them having now rookie Sasaki having no, shall we say, a plan to pitch anytime soon. He's right now being shut down. That's not a great situation. I do think that for the Dodgers, they're no doubt going to be able to make some moves. They're going to get some pitching at the deadline. But for the Giants, I have a sense that they're not done either. Keep in mind that this was a team that they were trying to get that Carlos Correa deal done a few years ago. They were trying to get Aaron Judge. They have been trying to do everything possible to get talent in there. Finally signed Willie Adames, but Adames wasn't costing as much as some of the other guys that they were trying to acquire. Now they've got Rafael Devers. I do think that this is a Giants team that they've got a chance to be able to really make some noise out there in the National League. Will we see the Florida Panthers and Edmonton Oilers make some noise on Tuesday? We'll talk about that with Jonathan Davis, who does great work here covering NHL here at the network. On the flip side, on Cashing Out on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
We're back here on Cashing Out. I'm VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. Always great to be joined by this man on the Progressive Guest Line. Typically joins me on Saturdays on this show. I'm here on a Sunday, and we had to get this man aboard. It is Jonathan Davis. He does such a tremendous job being able to break down this great game of hockey. He also does some great work over at SiriusXM as well. He's joining me right here on the Progressive Guest Line. And Jonathan, it's great to get you aboard. Thank you so much.
Greg, it's been a good day. I'm enjoying the off day. We get one more tomorrow in hockey and then back at it on Tuesday. The cup will be in the building. Always an exciting time.
Absolutely. We've got ourselves a game 6 in the Stanley Cup final. And before we dive in on that game 6, just what sort of adjustments do you think that the Edmonton Oilers might make for this game 6? Because they got the job done in game 4, albeit it was a hairy game 4. It was a wild game 4, but they got the job done in game 4. They make changes in game 5, and it felt like they just made a lot of unnecessary changes, and going back to what they had before might be the best option for them.
Well, I mean, look, I think obviously the most significant change was Calvin Pickard getting the start and goal, after taking over in game 4 from Stuart Skinner. And I think we'll see Stuart Skinner back in game 6. And it's not that Picard played bad in game number 5, but I don't think he did anything to, you know, for Edmonton not to go back to Skinner. I mean, this has been, you know, games 4 through 7, well documented, his best time in the playoffs, just 2 losses, games 4 through 7. So I think we'll see Stuart Skinner in game number 6.
Yep, I'm right there with you. And I mean, just what did you all see in a game number 5 where things got very, very overwhelming late? I remember we had our good friend Tim Murray on Live Bet Saturday, and he was sweating out the under, and just watching him was agonizing. I personally had a little bit of a laugh myself, because it's like, man, I remember when I had the Braves up 6 runs in the ninth inning a few nights ago, and they blew that lead as well. So you always can relate to a bad beat there. But I mean, just what did you see in that game number 5 where it felt like Florida just completely brought the fight to Edmonton, and Edmonton was just fighting upstream all night?
Yeah, you know, look, I think it was the Florida Panthers played basically a shutdown game in game number 5, and Edmonton, conversely, looked like they were on their heels most of the night. Very uncharacteristic. I mean, almost nervous like for Edmonton, and I'm just not used to seeing that. So, you know, they had a chance 30 seconds in to score a goal, and then pretty much after that, they were quiet. I mean, just three shots on goal in the opening 20. It wasn't a very physical game, but it's just a very methodical game for the Florida Panthers. And I thought even more methodical when they beat the Oilers 6-1 in game number three. So, yeah, big adjustments that, you know, need to be made on the Edmonton side. But, you know, as we've seen in this series, it's been a zigzag pretty much. You know, the Panthers, yes, won games 2 and 3. But, you know, momentum, as I've said many times, Greg, it goes from shift to shift and not from game to game.
And I'm so glad that you mentioned that, because one thing that has not zigzagged has been the total. It has gone over in all five games here in the Stanley Cup, and I don't have the research or the just really resources to be able to take a look at it, but I have to imagine this is one of the first Stanley Cups we've ever seen where all five of the first five games have gone over the total. Is there any reason to believe that we might finally get an under? Because I'm a schmuck that I take a look at game five with it being 2-0 going into the third period, and that might be a promise for us finally getting an under here in the Stanley Cup final.
I mean, that game was destined. I mean, I understand, you know, why people would bet. Well, I shouldn't say it. Let me rephrase it. I could never bet an under in this series. I liked the first period over in game five. I wasn't as crazy about the full game over. I'll stick with the first period over. It's just, if you want to bet an under and just say, hey, look, it's got to happen eventually, so be it. But until it does, I see no reason to buck the trend.
It has been absolutely insane what we've been seeing, as Jonathan Davis, who does such great work here at VSiN, is joining me right here on Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. And I do have to ask you about this as well, because you did mention that you think that we are destined to be seeing Stuart Skinner back in goal in game number six. Who would you be feeling a little bit better about for the Edmonton Oilers in goal in game number six, Skinner, or would you rather go with Pickard?
I would go back to Skinner. I mean, I just think, like I said, you know, his history as the series goes on and on has been so good. Just one loss in games 4 through 7, or is it 2 now? I can't remember. But, you know, like 13-2 when you get games 4 through 7 in the playoffs dating back to last year. And so I just think that, you know, you go with the guy that is really your best goalie. And like I said, if Pickard stood on his head in game five, I would go back to him. And it's not that he played poorly, but he didn't do enough for me that I wouldn't go back to the guy that really got me here for the most part. Although both goalies do, Greg, have 7 wins in the playoffs.
Yep, that is so intriguing, because Pickard started out the postseason. He got pulled and was a little bit banged up. Skinner comes in. He's able to get the job done. And now we are going to see what we're going to be getting in game number six. And with so many question marks on the Edmonton Oilers side of things, does this put you off of betting the side in game number six for right now? Or is this one where you're willing to be able to place a bet whether or not it is Pickard or Skinner in goal?
Greg, I'm going to go when it comes to the side. I'm going to be Switzerland again, and I'll play both sides on the puck line. It's cashed in 2 of the 5 games. You know, it had the great run coming into the final, you know, hitting what, 11 of 12 and 20 of 22. So for me, I just think the value for me will be, I'll play both teams at -1.5. I think the props are far better than playing a side in this one. You know, Evan Bouchard's been a guy that has had both 2 block shots in every playoff game. And although he didn't cash his shots on goal prop in game number 5, I'd be willing to go back to him again. Matthias Ekholm is another one that's had at least 2 block shots in 12 of his last 13. So there's some good props on the Edmonton side. On the Florida side, you know, Brad Marchand is trying to make a case to win the Conn Smythe Trophy, the MVP for the playoffs. You know, Greg, he was 85-1 coming into the Cup final. He's at what? I think about +400 right now. But I'm very interested in actually doing a prop with all 3 players on the line with Marchand, it's Brad Marchand, Eetu Luostarinen, and Anton Lundell, each to get a point. You can get that at +875, I believe.
Oh, wow. That is absolutely incredible. And Luostarinen, 500-1 to be able to win the Conn Smythe. I don't think that that's going to be happening. But how do you take a look at Sam Bennett's prospects right now? And I assist because I am very much invested. I bet this at 30-1 prior to the start of the Stanley Cup final, I am feeling very good about myself. This might be my biggest hockey triumph ever, but I'm for Bennett. 15 goals right now, entered into the Cup final, leading the Stanley Cup in goal, which is why I thought that the 31 price was just a little bit outrageous. And for Marchand, he's been absolutely tremendous here in the Stanley Cup final, but Sam Bennett has not been too far behind.
No, look, I mean, look, I have Bennett at 39-1. Nice. I did sprinkle a little bit on Marchand at 4-1, simply, you know, because look, he leads the series in goals with six. He's got 10 overall. He can become the sentimental favorite. He's not undeserving by any stretch. I actually know, one of my buddies has got Bennett at 100-1. He did that before the playoffs started. But I had to sprinkle a little bit on Marchand just because of what he's done of late. You know, two-goal games in this series. So it's kind of hard to go against him as well. But I'm still feeling really good about Sam Bennett. Absolutely.
Yep, no question about it. And when it comes to the Oilers side of things, they're currently down 3-2. But as we know, not an insurmountable deficit. Being able to win in Florida, if they're able to do so on Tuesday, means that they get a Game 7 on their home ice. And might there be a little bit of value on the Conn Smythe with either Leon Draisaitl or Connor McDavid, with McDavid plus $9 and Draisaitl plus $8?
Yeah, I mean, look, if you like Edmonton, I mean, I would still bet, I would bet Leon or Connor for Conn Smythe, or bet them both. If you like the Oilers right now, that to me is where the better value is than trying to play, the Oilers in Game 6 and then, try to roll it over into Game 7. So there's still value, absolutely. And like I said, look, Edmonton's going to have to play far better than they did in Game number 5, but we've already won a game in Florida. So it's not that they can't win in the Sunshine State. If you like Edmonton, bet one of the two big guns.
Yep, and if you're looking at the futures market right now, the Oilers to be able to win both Game 6 and Game 7, be able to take the Stanley Cup, that's only plus 280. So either rolling it over, or like you just mentioned, betting both Draisaitl and Connor McDavid, a little bit of a better value prop right there if you do like the Edmonton Oilers to be able to come back. And Jonathan, you've been doing such A-plus work here all throughout the NHL playoffs. You either have one or two games left to be able to break down, Jonathan. You have been an ace all throughout the postseason and all throughout the year, and I really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Appreciate the kind words. Have a great rest of your night.
Always great to be able to have Jonathan aboard. He is second to none with regards to being able to gauge things out there on the ice. But how about if we go from the ice to the diamond, as we have a small but fun slate of baseball that's going to be coming up for Monday. We'll break that down next on Cashing Out on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
We're back here on Cashing Out on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. It was great to be joined by our good friend Jonathan Davis in the last segment. The NHL Cup Final has been absolutely spectacular, and if you ask me, the Stanley Cup Final, one of the best playoffs that you're going to find in all of sports. It's always tremendous, and Jonathan Davis has been supplying the goods all season long here at VSIN. So big thanks to him for joining me in the last segment. Now let's take a look at a few games that we're going to be getting for Monday, and we're going to round up everything in the final segment in terms of what I'd like on this baseball card. And for those of you guys looking for the MLB write-ups, those are currently up at VSIN right now, and I've got write-ups every single day in which we've got baseball and college basketball. So always hard at work, always trying to be able to find some edges. And we have one 2.5 hours in the show without mentioning the fact that the Boston Red Sox actually swept the New York Yankees, which that is lost in everything with Rafael Devers getting traded. That's lost with Desmond Bain being traded, the U.S. Open. We've got just so many things in sports happening right now. So how about if we do take a look at the New York Yankees and the fact that they do look to bounce back on Monday against the LA Angels, as one Jose Soriano is going to be on the bump for the Angels, and you've got Clark Schmidt on the bump for the New York Yankees. For the Yankees, you're going to be getting them in that neighborhood about minus $2, minus 196 to minus 207, in that neighborhood of plus 170, plus 180 is your number on the Halos. Total on this game is 8.5, and If you look at this Yankees run line, a lot of places you're able to find this between even money and plus 105. I'm going to be willing to roll with it. Now, you're playing with a little bit of fire because Jose Soriano has got some very interesting home and road splits this season for Mr. Soriano. At home, he's actually been not so great. 4.88 ERA. This falls to a sub-3.15 ERA on the road. And for Soriano, he's given up zero home runs on the road thus far this season. He's always been good in terms of mitigating hard contact throughout his career. Career 0.6 home runs per 9 innings. This year, between home and road starts, 0.3 home runs per 9 innings. But he allows a lot of contact in general, and I do think that that's going to burn him a little bit here. Like right now for Mr. Soriano, 7.3 strikeouts of 4.4 walks per 9 innings. That's a little bit less than savory, and it becomes even more less than savory when you consider this LA Angels bullpen. I've been talking a lot about the bullpens here tonight, and it's very much worth bringing up with the LA Angels as they're currently in the bottom four of the big leagues in terms of bullpen area. Credit to Hunter Strickland, who I thought was a corpse coming into the season. He's actually been able to give you like 10 relief appearances without giving up a run, so a little bit of credit there. But guys not named Mr. Strickland, they've been having a relatively rough time of it. It's the likes of Ryan Zephyrian. Recognize that he's been a little bit better recently, but Reed Detmers, Hector Neris, Kenley Jansen. Yeah, go down the list of guys with north of a 4 ERA. It's just a collection of a whole bunch of guys that have not been able to pan out with other teams that have come to Los Angeles and they've been sinking up the joint. So that has been very much less than tremendous. Now, on the flip side for the New York Yankees, you do have a bunch that has been really lost in the sauce in terms of their bullpen as well without Luke Weaver. Weaver has been one of the best relievers in all of baseball. Now, you've got the likes of Fernando Cruz, Yuri De Los Santos, Tim Hill, that'll be able to give you a sub-3.5 ERA. But what was really striking was the fact that the Yankees' offense went into a funk against Boston Red Sox. 4 runs scored in their 3 games in that series. The last time they were held to 4 runs in a 3-plus game set in Boston, the last pitcher to pitch in that series was Babe Ruth against the New York Yankees. So north of 100 years, it had been quite a while, and I don't think that they're going to stay down for long. I do think that you're going to see a nice bounce back here for the New York Yankees against, once again, just mentioned it, a Angels bullpen that's been less than savory, a guy in Soriano who's been giving up a lot of free fastes and a lot of contact in general, and I do think that for Aaron Judge, supplying north of 25 home runs, north of a 470 on base, he's going to be able to get this team back online. Now, for the New York Yankees, it's been a little bit hot and cold with regards to the guys not named Aaron Judge in the lineup, but I mean, Cody Bellinger, after a rough start to the season, he's hitting north of 250. He's moving the line. You've been able to get a pair of guys in Ben Rice on Trent Grisham to give you a combined 25 home runs. Now, when it comes to Rice, he's now hitting below a 230, but I think that there's going to be a little bit of a rebound, and you always want to take a look at home and road splits with the Yankees as well, because they set up their lineup very much to be able to just mash in general in Yankee Stadium. And right now, for this bunch, they're averaging 5.5 runs per game at home. That is number one out there in the American League. And what else I think is very interesting is the boom that you're able to get out of the LA Angels. And what else you're able to get a lot of boom with is EdgeBoost. EdgeBoost is the first ever bank account that is built for bettors, making sure that all gambling transactions are approved 100% of the time, no usage fees, no minimums, earn cash back rewards as you utilize EdgeBoost. And when you sign up today over at edgeboost.bet, utilize the promo code of CASH, C-A-S-H. That gives you a dollar-for-dollar match on your first deposit up to $25 over at edgeboost.bet, as it is Cashing Out with myself, Greg Peterson, right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. And for the Angels, I find it very interesting what you've been able to get out of this offense and the way that they have been, for lack of a better term, as all or nothing as it gets. For the LA Angels, they're hitting a home run on 4.2% of their at-bats on the road this season. That is actually number 2 in all of baseball. But if you take a look at the batting average of this LA Angels team and the way that they are, shall we say, not moving the line, that has also been very intriguing. As you look at the on-base percentage for this LA Angels team, 30th in the league. So they're either hitting a home run or they're striking outside, just getting out in general. Like Taylor Ward is the textbook example of this. 18 home runs thus far this season, sub-275 on base. Even Mike Trout is hitting below a 230. He's been able to give you quite a bit of power, and the batting average since coming off the injury list for him has been a little bit better, but I mean, still, you've got Joe Adell setting fire to the rain, double-figure amount of homers, but he's also setting fire to his on-base percentage, a sub-300 on-base percentage. Logan Ohapi, he's been able to give you 14 home runs, 261 on-base, and then you've got Luis Ranifo. He had a multi-home run game a few days ago, but and he's got three home runs that he's giving you less than a 260 on-base. So, very interesting circumstance here. Have a guy in Clark Schmidt that gives up right in the neighborhood about 1.1 home runs for 9 innings. He's a very league average pitcher if you look at his career numbers. Now he's been up with his strikeout numbers, about 9.3 strikeouts for 9 innings, but he's also allowing about 3.9 walks for 9 innings as well. So an interesting case here with the Yankees. I do think that they slug their way to victory. I think that Soriano experiences some road regression. I was willing to go up to a minus 114 on this Yankees run line. I think that this is a nice bounce back for them. So like the Yankees run line, and I do like this total over. Set my total a little bit north of 9. And how about if we dive in on the Orioles and the Rays, with the Rays coming off of a nice sweep of the New York Mets over the weekend. This is 959, 960 on the card. It is old Ryan Pepiot who's out on the bump for the Tampa Bay Rays, and Zach Eflin goes for the Baltimore Orioles. Orioles are plus 105 to plus 108 underdogs, and between minus 118 to minus 126, that number on the Rays with a total of 9. This did not make my VSiN write-ups, because for the Orioles, we did not know if we were going to be getting Zach Eflin or not when I did my write-ups, or else this certainly would have, because I've got the Tampa Bay Rays at a minus 152 on the money line. I really don't understand the love that we've been giving the Baltimore Orioles all season long. This has been a bunch that has just been disappointing in general. Now, have they been playing a little bit of better baseball over the last few weeks? Yes, they have, and Zach Eflin has been good in terms of not giving up the free pass. He is giving up just 1.2 walks per 9 innings, but sometimes he can be a little bit too accurate, and he's giving up 1.7 home runs per 9 innings, posting up well north of a 4-5 with regards to his fielding independent, because he gives up so much hard contact, and really he's not a strikeout artist. He's only getting about 6 strikeouts per 9 innings. Now you look on the flip side, and Ryan Pepiot, he has been very far from a strikeout artist as well. This is a man that is giving about 7.5 strikeouts per 9 innings, way down from his career numbers, but he's been able to hone in on the walks, giving up fewer than 3 walks per 9 innings. And again, it goes back to one of the biggest themes I've been talking about here tonight: bullpen pitching. For the Tampa Bay Rays, they've certainly got it, as this is a Tampa Bay Rays team that is currently number 2 in the big leagues with their 3.05 bullpen ERA. They did have to use up Eric Gorze on Sunday against the New York Mets, but because they were up by 9-0 in the back half of that game, you've got guys like Pete Fairbanks. You're able to throw in there Garrett Clevenger, Manuel Rodriguez, guys with a sub-3 ERA. They're going to be good to go. And all of a sudden, the Tampa Bay Rays have been able to get it going on offense. Junior Caminero, Brandon Lau, being able to combine for 30 home runs this season. They have been very good for this team. You've got a guy, Jonathan Aranda, who's been able to give you a 400 on base, so they've been able to get a lot of production there. Still could use a little bit more on some of these guys, like a Cameron Misner, Taylor Walls, running the entirety of the catcher spot. Hitting below a 225 has been a little bit rough, but they're finding a way. Jose Calabreu has been able to give you 25 stolen bases this year as well. And for Baltimore, now you're getting reinforcements back. Jordan Westberg has been coming back for the lineup. He was able to get home run number 7 of the season. Main constants for this team have been Gunnar Henderson, along with also Jackson Holliday, both hitting between about 265 to 275, 8-plus home runs apiece for those two guys. But we've also been able to get a little bit more in terms of having someone like a Colton Kowser come back in the lineup as well. So even though the Orioles right now are a bottom 10 team in the big leagues in terms of runs per game, these reinforcements I think are going to be able to fortify them a little bit. So I do think that you're going to be able to get a little bit higher scoring game here. Semi-total a little bit north of a 9 at a 9.2. I do like the over, but I do think that the Rays are being very inappropriately priced here. I set them at a minus 152, so I'm looking at that money line. To wrap up the show, I'm going to give you guys everything that I'm looking at on the baseball card for Monday, and we're also going to get you guys some finals bets for the NBA Finals on the flip side right here on Cashing Out on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We're back here for the final segment of the night, right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. If you're listening live to Cashing Out, you're going to be getting a replay of this fine program. Meanwhile, if you're watching/listening to the replay, coming up at 4 o'clock a.m. Pacific, 7 o'clock a.m. Eastern. It's VSiN by the Books, and you're going to recognize a very familiar face about 30 minutes into that program. I'm the first guest on there. So you are getting, once again, the full Greg Peterson suit collection because I made a guest appearance with Scott Seidenberg on Live Bet Sunday. I'm here hosting this show, and then I'm going to be doing VSiN by the Books and appearing with them in the first 30 minutes there. So you know what? You're always getting the trifecta from myself, and you're going to get another trifecta in a few minutes. So I am always fun. I love being able to just go back to back to back. Like, it's one of my favorite things to be able to do because people do wonder when I sleep. Well, I'll let you try to be able to figure that out because money doesn't sleep. This man is not going to either, and we need to make you guys some money on this Monday as hopefully you had a great Father's Day. Hopefully you treated your dad well. Now it's time to be able to put that money back where you were able to treat your dad. Hopefully you can treat him once again, slash just everyone in your life in general, by being able to hit some bets. How about if we take a look at the NBA playoffs first, and then we'll take a look at what I all like with regards to the MLB card. As first things first, with regards to the NBA Finals, you've got the Indiana Pacers currently as a 9 to a 9.5 point underdog, mostly 9.5s out there. This total is between 223.5 to 224. Again, I'm not going to be betting the side or the total until we get in-game because I do think that just being able to bet this in-game are going to be able to get better numbers than what you've been able to pre-flop. And I mean, it's been a very simple strategy, and I know that it just sounds like the most basic thing ever. The team that gets down double figures, you bet them live, and they have been able to cash for you all throughout the postseason in these Indiana Pacers games. Like, we even saw when the Pacers got up by a big margin against the OKC Thunder. They blow that game in the fourth quarter, so that's very clear as to how I'm going to be playing that. But if you're looking a little bit more on the prop front, I do think that with Isaiah Hartenstein, we're going to see a little bit more out of him. For the OKC Thunder, it's just been befuddling some of the changes that they've been making throughout the series. It almost has been as if they've been outfoxing themselves a little bit, for lack of a better term. For the OKC Thunder, I thought that they had things very much in line, even though they lost that game number one. I mean, that was just a Herculean comeback from the Indiana Pacers, and sometimes it's not a case where you need to make adjustments yourself when a team makes a great comeback. Sometimes you just flat out fall into a hot team that just gets super white hot on that night. Like, in that game number one, the OKC Thunder had won the turnover battle 24-6, but the Indiana Pacers, they get hot at the end of the game. They make some threes. That's sometimes something that you need to live with. And instead, you've seen Dagenal and company, they made a few too many adjustments. I think that they get back to happy. That's why I think Isaiah Hartenstein sees more minutes here in game number five. I like him over 8 rebounds. I think that you're able to get good value there with a plus number. I do also think that you have to play the Ben Mathurin zigzag theory, which I've been doing that throughout the postseason. It's been working out for me. We saw Ben Mathurin go under his point prop in game number one. He actually went back to back in terms of overs in game two and game three. Goes under in game four. I think that this is a rebound. Right now, you're able to get plus money on him to go 10 plus points in this game. I think that he reaches double figures. Ben Mathurin has been rock solid here in the series when he's been given minutes. Was only given 14 minutes in game number four. That I thought was a little bit of a change that the Pacers did not need to make. And I think that they can go back to Mathurin for a few more minutes. So I'm going to be taking a shot on that total over. And then with regards to just taking a look at what we're going to be getting in general throughout this game, I do think that you're going to get a little bit of higher scoring game. Like, if I had to bet the side in the total right now, again, going to be looking at this in game, I would bet the Indiana Pacers plus 9.5 points. I do think that they keep this within single digits. I think that they've got a good blueprint for hanging in there. Now, I do think that in the end, the OKC Thunder win the game outright, but I also think that after the shooting was so cold in game number four, with the Pacers shooting less than 32% from three-point range, the OKC Thunder somehow, some way pulled that game out of the fire, going 3 of 16 from three-point range, that you're going to be able to get a little bit more production there. And I'm just in on Miles Turner unders in general in this game. I do think that Miles Turner is going to be having a little bit of a tougher time because I do think that the OKC Thunder go a little bit bigger with Chet Holmgren, along with having a bit more Hartenstein out there as well. So looking at Miles Turner under with regards to rebounds, points, you name it, I'm going to be taking a look at the under. His made threes prop, which he went 0-6 from three-point range in game number four. I think that the green light, not going to be there for him in game number five. So we're looking at a lot of unders with regards to Miles Turner, as it is cashing out right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. I was mentioning that there was another trifecta that was going to be mentioned, and that's from G-Bank. GBank, they sponsor all of our best bets here at the network, and they are launching the trifecta. That is GBank, First Bet, and VSiN come together. All you need to do is open up a GBank Visa Signature credit card, and in the first 90 days, deposit and play through $1,000 at First Bet to trigger this $500 trifecta. You'll receive $200 in cashback rewards on your GBank Signature credit card. First Bet will give you a $100 deposit match, and then VSiN, they come in to complete the trifecta with a VSiN Pro subscription through October 31st. That is a $200 value, and that's the $500 trifecta from GBank, First Bank, and VSiN. Head on over to VSiN.com/GBank. That is VSIN.com/GBank. And note that this is a one-time promotion that is limited to customers opening up a new account in response to this offer. This will not apply to requests to convert existing accounts. Apply today. Terms and conditions, they do apply. How about if we take a look at some baseball that we've got on this Monday? And well, this is a very obvious fade for me as the Colorado Rockies, they've got more multiple run losses right now than any other National League team has losses. They are going up against the Washington Nationals. Nationals on the money line are right around minus 185 to minus 202, but you're able to catch that run line at even money. The total on this game is 9. The Colorado Rockies had an outlier of a performance on Sunday. They put up a 10 spot against the Atlanta Braves, and most of it really came late as well, and I just don't think that Lightning is going to be striking twice. Now, the roll of the dice that you've got in terms of Sunday is Carson Palmquist has been a human pinata. 2 home runs and 5 walks allowed per 9 innings. 7.77 ERA. His ERA is quite literally lucky sevens, and if you're the opposing team, you've been very lucky to go against him because he has not given you good performances whatsoever. You've got a Colorado Rockies team that's currently 14-57 thus far this season. So that means that if you've been able to get, going to do the mental math here, plus $4 on the money line on the Colorado Rockies in every single game this season. If you've gotten plus $4, you are still down money for the season. That is how bad this team has been. Recognize that they've added a few pieces back in the fold. Obviously, when you get the likes of Orlando Arcia, Therio Estrada, that helps out a little bit. But again, if your saving grace is adding Orlando Arcia and Therio Estrada, where is your organization really at? And for the Washington Nationals, you got James Wood giving you good wood, giving you 16 home runs. It's a less than savory Nationals bullpen. They're currently dead last in the National League in terms of ERA. I still think that they get the job done. And I think that the Colorado Rockies entered into Sunday with, again, 2.5 runs per game away from home and hitting below the Mendoza line of 200 on the road. They start to regress. I like the under, and I do like the run line here with Washington. You've got such an interesting game with Shohei Ohtani getting the start for the LA Dodgers. Now, he's not expected to go any more than 1 to 2 innings. And, well, if I looked at the player prop market, right now his strikeout prop is 1.5. If I had to play it, I'd be going over. I'm going to be sticking a little bit more to the side in the total, as I'm just personally not too much of a player prop guy myself. But, I mean, right now with the Dodgers, you find them between about minus 140 to minus 157 on the money line, fluctuating quite a bit as money has been coming in ever since Ohtani was announced. For the Padres, you're able to get them about plus 128 to plus 135. And that total in a lot of places is an 8.5, seeing a straight 9 out there as well. For Dylan Cease, I mean, we're all talking about Shohei Ohtani, and rightfully so, but he's not going to be long for this game. He's expected to throw only 1 or 2 innings. Dylan Cease should be able to give you 6-plus good innings. As a matter of fact, last start, 7 scoreless innings against the LA Dodgers. I do believe that he has had a little bit of an outlier of a season. 4.21 ERA, a 3.10 fielding independent. He's only allowing 1 home run per 9 innings. He's giving you 11 strikeouts per 9 innings. He's been able to do a rock-solid job here against the LA Dodgers here recently. I think that he gives you another good performance. Now, I do think that the LA Dodgers find a way to bust through, and this is essentially going to be like a bullpen game for the Dodgers. Would not be surprised if Ben Kasparis is a little bit more of a bulk guy. He's been able to give you a sub-3.5 ERA. So being able to get this total between an 8.5 to a 9, I like the under, and I do like the LA Dodgers on the run line. It has been a Padres team that has been slightly below average in the big leagues with regards to runs per game. We've seen a little bit of a drop-off with regards to that power, and then with the Boston Red Sox. We've talked all about them throughout the show. They trade away Rafael Devers. I want no part of this team on Monday. Do they have a little bit of value perhaps moving forward? Yes. Don't think that they've got a lot of value with Lucas Giolito on the bump, and even without Rafael Devers, I still think that the Boston Red Sox score some runs, mostly seeing 7.5 with regards to the total, seeing a straight 7 here at Circa. Whether you got 7 or 7.5, I do like the over. Logan Gilbert coming off the injury list for his first start, probably not going to be long for this game either, but even with that, do like the Seattle Mariners at north of a plus 125 on the run line. What else I love? Everything that you're getting here at VSiN on Monday. Starts with VSiN by the books, which I will be joining Jensen Lewis and our good friends Dave Ross about 30 minutes in, so look forward to that. A numbers game starts at 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern time, and then you got Money Moves at noon. So we've got ourselves a great day of sports on Monday. We've got ourselves a great lineup here on VSiN on Monday right here on the Sports Betting Network.